Real Money Radio is brought to you today by Holland Financial. Since 1997, David Holland and his team have helped hundreds of investors plan their financial futures. Planning doesn't have to be hard, complicated, or stressful. Come see how simple and clear your future can be when you plan stronger. The consultation is free. Call 671-PLAN or visit us online at planstronger.com.
And welcome back. I've got a great show lined up for you today, and I've got a great guest on the line. He is a returning guest, so you know that means they're good when they come back, unless they just pester us, but that's not the case with Mr. Dennis Miller. He is an author, speaker, consultant. The website for our program we're going to refer to today is millersmoney.com. There's a free newsletter on the site, and Dennis has also written the book Retirement Reboot. And Dennis, welcome back.
I appreciate you having me back. Thank you.
I appreciate the opportunity to have a reboot and talk to you. Dennis wrote a recent article that caught my eye, and I always enjoy having him back on the program. He wrote a recent article on MarketWatch we'll get to in just one second. But just to give you a quick introduction or reintroduction to Dennis, he's an active international lecturer for over 40 years. He's written several books. He's consulted with many of the Fortune 500 companies, trained hundreds of executives. Good luck with that. To effectively communicate their company and their products. His clients have included GE, Mobil, Shell, HP, Hewlett-Packard, IBM, a whole long list of well-regarded companies. He also served in the U.S. Marine Corps. Thank you again for that, Dennis. Service to our country.
Well, Semper Fi, and thank you.
You're very welcome. And a member of the Mensa Society, so I will be as smart as I can with Dennis to keep up with him. So, Dennis, welcome back, and let's just kind of dive in here. You wrote recently about the three essential non-tax items you need to review once a year. So I think that's great, and in a post-mortem tax return time of year, good to talk about other things that we need to look at, you know, at least once a year. So let's kind of touch on what they are and help my listeners understand what they need to be thinking about.
Sure. Let me tell you real quickly why I wrote the column. My thinking behind it was just really simple. You know how once a year they say when you go to daylight savings time, you should also change the batteries in your smoke alarm? Well, if you forget to change the batteries and you have a fire, you could have some real catastrophic consequences. And once a year, when my wife and I do our taxes, we just kind of use that time as a reminder, like the smoke alarm, to review some things that aren't tax things, but the kind of things that if you put them off and you have some adverse consequences, it could be really bad because you just kind of forgot about them. And the three issues that we talked about are what I call core holdings, and then also reviewing long-term care insurance, and reviewing your estate plan.
Excellent. Okay, so those are the three key things that are non-tax related that you think is really important to look at least once a year.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. You got all the stuff out there anyway. You might as well.
All right. So let's go through them, and we can do them kind of in order that you presented, Dennis. Core holdings. So you're talking about your portfolio, your investment holdings. Is that what you're talking about?
Actually, it is, and it isn't.
Okay.
It's kind of a crazy answer. Core holdings are the kinds of things that you would hold that you never intend to sell for a profit down the road.
Okay.
They are the holdings for the black swan event.
Ah.
We have, and they can be any number of things. In our personal core holdings, we have some farmland. We have a lot of precious metals. We've even got our precious metals holding divisible by our number of children so that hopefully we never have to tap into them and they can go into our children's core holdings, if you will.
Okay.
And it's the kind of thing, whether it's hyperinflation, any number of things, it is the holdings that you have you never want to use, but it might help you survive and transition if something really bad happens.
So kind of a, these are your backup reserves, stuff that you really want to hold on to. That's why you call them core.
Exactly. Yeah. As a matter of fact, people say, well, is your gold your core holdings? And I say, it depends. I have certain metals and metal stocks that I buy with the idea of selling down the road at a profit.
Mm-hmm.
And I have others that I hold that I have no intention of selling. So it's the latter group I would refer to as core holdings and hope I never have to sell them.
Fair enough. Okay. So that may include a variety of different investments, again, or holdings, depending on the person's situation and what fits for them. And it could be, you know, different things. I think the key thing that you, that I like about what you said, Dennis, is there's, as you describe your personal core holdings, there's diversification there. You didn't say, hey, I've got it all in, you know, all in gold and that's it. You've got a diversified portfolio or collection or allocation of these core holdings.
Exactly. Okay. And, you know, let me share a very quick story.
Sure.
I went to high school with a very nice young lady, and her father I really liked. He was actually one of the guys that I talked to when I decided to go in the Marine Corps, and he had a really, really good career going. He was probably in his mid-40s, and he went blind.
Hmm.
And obviously, you know, your black swan event is all of a sudden you don't have any income anymore. And I learned at a very early age that, you know, they lived out in a nice house in the country club and all the kinds of things you would expect from somebody who had a very successful career. Well, they had to downsize, but they also had enough core holding that actually they made the transition and they bought a small business that his wife and children could run so that they could survive. Well, without those core holdings to back, you know, to fall back on, they weren't able to do that. And David, we ran an article a year ago about Encore Careers.
Yeah.
I bet I got 24 letters from people who were disabled and accidents, this or that, that told the identical story, that it was their core holdings that enabled them to cross that bridge and transition into earning money that they were still capable of earning despite their situation and doing very well. So it's the foundation.
It really is a key. If you're just joining us, Dennis Miller's on the line with me. Millersmoney.com. You can check out his website. There is a free weekly newsletter. He's also written the book Retirement Reboot. And what I'd like to do next, Dennis, if we can turn our attention and talk a little bit about long-term care, because what struck me interesting about your article is that you suggest or recommend, and I do agree with it, but I think people would be surprised that long-term care is something you got to look at every year. It's almost like, you know, kind of a set it and forget it. You pay your premium or whatever you do with it, and it's there, and you don't have to worry about it. But help my listeners understand why you need to look at it once a year.
Well, that's a good question, because you have to first start at what is the goal of having long-term care insurance. And again, I can give you stories where I've seen it happen. That think of a couple that's been married for a long time. Unfortunately, one of them gets Alzheimer's or something and has to go into long-term care, truly long-term. Well, I've seen too many cases now where they didn't qualify for Medicaid because they had financial resources to pay for it.
Yeah.
And so after 7 or 8 years in a nursing home, their funds are depleted, the one spouse dies, and then the other spouse is penniless. The problem with long-term care is if you set it and forget it, you're going to sit down and make it up and say, okay, I checked the local nursing home and they charge $1,500 a month, so you buy $1,500 worth a month of long-term care. Well, 5 years later, it might be $3,000 or $3,500.
Right, right.
So you're no longer insuring for the catastrophe because you're going to have to make up most of it out of your personal funds.
That's exactly right.
And what I recommend, and of course I don't sell this stuff for a living, but I recommend that people understand what they're buying, because I saw some statistics, and David, you probably could help me with it, that there's 100% probability that before we die, on average, we will end up in a nursing home for maybe a period of time of 30 days, but we'll be there. Well, I've seen it where they say, okay, well, Medicare pays, and I don't know what it currently is, for the first 30 days, so you want to start at day 31. And I say, no, because it's too expensive.
Right.
Start a 6-month waiting period. Maybe you can afford the other 4 or 5 months, but for the same amount of money, instead of getting $1,500 a month and a $200,000 cap, you might get $2,500 a month and a $500,000 cap. I'd be interested in your opinion, but my feeling is insure for the catastrophe, because that's what the whole purpose of it is.
You're right on the money with it. Let's do this, Dennis. We'll grab a quick break and we'll come back and we'll answer that question. Stay right there.
What if in the time it takes to eat lunch, you could potentially strengthen your financial future? Would you invest 1 hour to plan stronger? If you spend just 1 hour with certified financial planner David Holland, you'll get simple, straightforward advice to help you plan stronger. And if you already have a financial plan, isn't it worth an hour to get a second opinion? There is no cost or obligation to meet with David. Call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com for more information.
And we're back, and you're just joining us. Dennis Miller's on the line with me, and he is an author, speaker, consultant. He's got millersmoney.com. That's the website. You can go there and sign up for a free newsletter. And he's written the book, Retirement Reboot. And, you know, before we get back to the long-term care, tell my listeners a little bit about the book, because you wrote this out of your own experience, if I remember correctly, Dennis.
Yeah, actually I did. What happened was that I was very happily retired. I had my majority of my money in a nice 57% CDs, and when the bottom fell out, and they came up with the first TARP bill and took away all the 67% CDs.
Yep.
I had to go back to actively managing my portfolio in order to survive. And my book is what I went through and the process I went through and coming to grips with it. And then the Casey Research team had me start Miller's Money Forever, because there's millions of people out there that are going through the same thing that I am, that are baby boomers, trying to figure out how to survive in the low interest rate environment that we have today.
You're exactly right.
It's been fun, but it's a challenge.
It is a challenge. It's a challenge for a lot of people. And I see those folks every day, Dennis, and I do my best to help them. All right, so back to our question. We're talking about Dennis had written an article in MarketWatch and said that there are three essential non-tax items you need to review once a year. We talked about core holdings. We also talked a little bit about long-term care. And Dennis, we were talking right before the break about, you know, how to, if you're going to shift the risk and try to insure, and some people, of course, and I actually wrote about this recently in a column, some people can't get it. Their health won't let them. They're not insurable. But the question is, you know, you mentioned about waiting periods and insuring for, you know, this is a catastrophic event. And there's the statistics are we're actually just increased from 2/3 basically up to about 70% of people 65 and older are going to need some form of care during their lifetime. And, you know, I like your idea, Dennis, that, you know, if you try to go and buy an insurance policy, and I've run this number for people I've worked with and clients and folks that I've helped, if you try to buy a policy where you've only got a 30-day, you know, waiting period before benefits start versus maybe one that's a 3-month or 6 months, the cost is very, very much higher. And so, you know, you have to make this part of a plan. And I also like your idea of looking at this once a year or even more often, especially if, you know, there are changes with the policy. You know, as you know, Dennis, there's been a lot of, there's been a bit of an upheaval with these policies were originally introduced with, they were sold and introduced by the insurance companies really before the insurance companies had enough experience to know how to price them correctly. So there's been a lot of changes in prices and benefits that are available under these policies.
Yeah. I think that's one of the reasons you should definitely be on top of it. And the point being is it goes back to the bottom line. What are you trying to accomplish?
Well,
long-term care is long-term.
Yep.
Insuring from 30 days to 6 months is like buying $50 deductible on your car and
exactly.
A $500 deductible. You want to insure for the catastrophe, not the deductible. You should probably afford that.
Well, and the other thing too, Dennis, is there's a, you know, many ways to skin the cat, as they say. You know, there's lots of different types of policies. There's newer ones that have come out that, you know, eliminate the risk of the insurance company raising your rate by having you, instead of paying, you know, premiums every year, You can make a lump sum payment, which could be pretty attractive, especially if he's got somebody has some money sitting in a money market earning 0.00001%, and that, you know, CD rates aren't very high. You know, it might be a way for them to address this need permanently, and, you know, because it is a long-term scenario that needs to be dealt with.
Well, and I tell people to go to the experts on that one, because they're now tying these same things into annuities. Mm-hmm. They're tying them into life insurance policies.
Exactly.
Where they might take part of a death benefit earlier.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that you've got to find somebody who's really on top of it to tailor it specifically to the client.
That's a very good idea. And it's not something you can do it yourself, because, you know, there are a lot of things that people can do themselves. But when it comes to some of these products, Dennis, I think your advice is spot on. Get some guidance. I wanted to turn, if we could, because I know this is a bigger subject. The third thing, which again, I think people might be surprised that you really need to look at this once a year as well, is your estate planning.
Well, yeah. And, you know, we have to start again at the beginning. And that is, if you don't do the estate planning, the government's going to do it for you.
That's right.
And, you know, the assumption that Big Brother knows what you want and can read your mind is a very faulty assumption. And, you know, I think when people look at estate planning, they really don't want to spend the money. You got to get a lawyer, you know, all the stuff that you go through when you do it. But just like you said earlier, David, it can't be set it and forget it. Reviewing it could be simple sitting down, reading what you wrote when you wrote the estate plan, looking at your spouse and saying, yeah, that's still what I want to do. But, you know, I found out this firsthand. When we originally started our estate planning, we went a period of time without looking at it. And at the time, we had children that were under 21. So we had this provision and this. Well, all of a sudden, you wake up and they're married and they have grandchildren, and you read the will and say, thank God I didn't die, because that's not what I want today.
Right. Well, you're right on the money there again, Dennis. And I can tell you anecdotally for our listeners that I see this almost, I won't say every day, but at least every week, that somebody comes in and you know, the estate planning is part of what we do, and we talk about it. And I'm not an attorney, but we do a lot of planning and then recommend that they sit down and talk with the attorney as well. And very often there is a realization that, well, you know, no, we haven't updated this, or we need to update that. And I think it's something that at least that once a year review, again, maybe at tax time or at some other time during the year, to really take a hard look at that.
Well, do you have time for me to tell you a quick example where we absolutely dodged a bullet like that?
Sure.
Okay. Shortly after I married my wife, and this is now well over 25 years ago, her father had died, and all of a sudden I am a newlywed. And I wrote about this in the book, and I'm now taking over responsibility for looking after her mother's financial affairs. And in those days, I used a full-service broker who's now long since retired. And we talked about the family farm earlier. Well, the farm has been in the family for over a century. Well, the broker calls and starts asking me about the farm. Well, what's it worth, this and that, how much does she own? And in the next 15 minutes, he goes through what's in Grandma's brokerage account. And basically, if my mother-in-law had died at that moment, and the estate tax laws were different then.
Sure.
There was not enough money to pay the estate taxes if the farm was valued at what it really was worth.
Wow.
So now they own a portion of the family farm that they can't sell because the rest of the family wouldn't want to sell it. And my wife and her sister would have had to come up with money when Grandma died in order to pay the taxes, because there wasn't enough money outside of the farm to do that. And, you know, have you ever tried to get a life insurance policy on an 80-year-old woman? We did it. And thank God we did, because the whole purpose of the policy was to prevent that from happening. And, you know, you don't know about those things until you review them, and then you can take the action, because it's like I said earlier, when the battery goes dead on the smoke alarm and you have a fire, it's too late.
when it's lights out, you need to make sure these plans are going to be carried forward. Dennis, you're right on it. Let's grab another quick break. We'll come right with Dennis Miller. He's an author, speaker, consultant. Millersmoney.com is the website. He's got a great newsletter you can sign up for free. And his book is Retirement Reboot, written from his own personal experience. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Do you know how to get the most from Social Security? Don't let a simple mistake prevent you from receiving all the benefits you've earned. David Holland recently showed a retiring couple how they could get an extra $84,000 in Social Security benefits over their expected lifetime. Wow! Don't leave your money on the table. Call Holland Financial today for your one-on-one appointment. David can do a free analysis for you and show you the optimal age to start drawing Social Security and filing techniques to maximize your benefits. There is no cost or obligation. Call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And we are back with Dennis Miller, and we're talking about the essential things that you need to do to make sure you've got your financial house in order. And we've talked about the core holdings. Make sure you review those, as well as your long-term care coverage. And we were just talking about estate planning, and Dennis was telling a story, personal story, from his family. And Dennis, we got a little bit less than 2 minutes just to kind of wrap up here. Final thoughts for my listeners. I want you to, as you have on your website, I love what you have on your website, and you have ideas plus action equal change. So give them a little kick to get them going.
Well, I think there's a couple of things you have to do. And one of them is something that you guys are very much aligned with, and that is, in that it's starting with that financial checkup.
Yes.
But it's not just a financial checkup that does, do I have enough money to retire?
Right.
A true financial checkup looks into the kinds of things that we talked about today and looks at the big picture of things. And while you may not have all the answers, like you said earlier, you can send them to an attorney. On the estate planning in particular, I thought it was neat when you said you send them to an attorney, because you and I have both worked with some attorneys that would frustrate Mr. Rogers.
Sure.
And I'm afraid that it's those kind of people that keep a lot of people from doing the right thing because they don't like the hassle. But it is just totally irresponsible to not have your wishes put together in a legal manner in writing to protect your spouse and to protect your heirs. Find an attorney that doesn't frustrate you, that gets the job done, because if you don't, you're going to be at the mercy of the government. And, you know, you could actually be harming your spouse and children as a result of it.
Amen to that, Dennis. Dennis, I thank you very much for joining us again. Millersmoney.com, and the book is Retirement Reboot. Dennis, we will certainly have you back another time.
Certainly. I'd love to come back. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Dennis.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.